Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. We want to thank Audible for supporting our podcast. For a free 30-day trial, go to audible.com/leadership. On today's podcast, we'll conclude a two-part conversation on creating a culture of continual improvement. Andy, as we wrap up this conversation, I thought it'd be a good idea to remind our listeners about why continual improvement is an important topic.
So years ago, I sat down and asked the question, what is momentum and how do you create it? Because it really is the leader's best friend. So in organizations, I came up with this formula that we have used and taught for years and years and years, that momentum is basically the results of new, improved, and improving. New, improved, and improving. Anything that's new creates momentum. It may be negative momentum, but everything that's new creates its own momentum. If it's improved, it creates positive momentum. But then the key is improving, so new, improved, and improving. So when we talk about continual improvement, we are talking about one of the critical elements of creating organizational momentum. So this is a really, really big deal, and I'm glad we're talking about it.
Well, let's get to it then. So last month, you gave us 6 steps for creating organizational culture. And in our time today, we're going to take those 6 steps and we're going to apply them to this idea of continual improvement. So as a refresher, the 6 steps are name it, brand it, wear it, teach it, institutionalize it, and lastly, recognize it.
Yeah, and this is a template that organizational leaders can drop many things into. So for the next few minutes, what we're going to do is take those 6 ideas that we talked about last month and ask the question, how do we apply those to this idea of continual improvement in order to make that part of an organizational culture? Because those 6 things that you just listed, these are how you implement any kind of culture in an organization. So let's talk about how you do that with continual improvement. So the first one is name it, which is the easy one. Continual improvement. As we said last month, of the 6 steps, this is the easiest one, but it's an important one because, you know, organizational leaders, you know, you're driving to work or you're driving home or you're sitting in a meeting and you're thinking, what is wrong? You know, what do we lack? You know, what needs to be front and center that's no longer front and center? And it dawns on you, you know, we're just not committed to making it better. We're not committed to continual improvement. We've gotten lazy. We've gotten complacent. And suddenly it dawns on the leader, we need to work on this. So the first step is to recognize what is this, and you name it. So in this case, it's continual improvement.
Well, then let's move to the second. The second is brand it.
Yeah, brand it is important. As we said last month, some people are great at this. Some people want to skip this. And here's why this is important. It's one thing to get up and say, we need to work on continual improvement. I mean, that is so vanilla, and it's just not inspirational. But when organizational leaders can ask the question, okay, how do I make continual improvement exciting? How do I make it memorable? How do I make it portable? How do I brand it? And so in our organization, we've talked about these before, we have 6 staff behaviors. And one of our staff behaviors as a result of going through this process is make it better. So our brand for continual improvement is not continual improvement. Mm. Our brand for continual improvement, the way we branded that here, is make it better, make it better, make it better. So again, when I write notes or when I see somebody, you know, making things better or improving things, I don't say, thank you for being committed to continual improvement. I say thank you for making it better, because make it better is more dynamic. So that's just ours. Years ago, we were a single site church, like a typical church, and we went multi-site, which meant we began creating churches, you know, around the city of Atlanta. And I remember getting up in front of our staff and talking about this. And the statement I made then was, every new campus should be better than the old ones, and the old ones should be better because of the new ones. Mm. So every new campus, everything we do that's new should be better than the old because we're making it better, and the old ones should be better because of the new ones. So once you come up with the phraseology and once you come up with this, you know, this brand around a general idea that you want to be part of your culture, the language is important because you could begin to drop it into and blend it into lots of conversations. So around our organization, you hear people talk about it all the time, make it better, make it better. So that's what it means to brand something that you want to have as part of the culture. And for us, when it comes to continual improvement, that's our brand, make it better.
Well, that takes us then to wear it.
Wear it. Yeah, as we said last month, we don't talk about model it. A lot of people talk about modeling things and leaders need to model things. We like the word wear it. We want people to see it. Now, This is where it gets a little bit personal with leaders. And so I want to kind of bear down a little bit on this. If I want continual improvement or make it better to be part of the culture of the organization, then I have to wear that, which means as a leader, I have to be getting better. So when I talk to leaders, I say, look, I know you want your organization to get better, but are you getting better? I want, you know, you want your organization to improve. Are you improving? Not do you want to improve or is there room for improvement? The answer to those questions is always yes. But are you actually getting better? And are you getting better in such a way that your staff and the people that work with you can see that you are still leaning in, that you're not simply trying to motivate them, but you have embraced this idea of continual improvement, that you're continuing to improve as a leader? When I talk to church leaders, I often say, hey, are you making your department better or are you just getting ready for Sunday? So for example, if everybody on your team did what you're doing, would they be getting better or would they just be busy? If everybody on your team, in terms of, you know, make it better and continual improvement, if they were doing what you're doing, would they be getting better? So I have to ask myself that question as a leader because, again, this isn't just a vision or mission statement. This is something that we want to have as part of our culture, which means I have to wear it.
And it's not enough just to do it. You've got to be seen doing it.
Yeah, exactly. The people who are working with you and around you need to be aware of the fact that you are being intentional about your personal right. continual improvement, that you are personally trying to get better. And again, depending on people's personality, some people are comfortable with this. Some people are too comfortable with this. Others, you know, if you're more reserved, you think, well, that's none of their business. I don't want to brag. But it's very, very important for the people who work with us to see that we are being intentional about our own improvement.
Andy, I think a great example of this is you just did a 360 evaluation.
Yeah, our organization, I just turned 21, and so I did a 360. You were part of that process. And when I went back to our leadership team and said, hey, thanks for participating. I want to talk about some of the results. Somebody in the room said, hey, why did you do this? And I could read between the lines. He's saying, you know, you're in charge. You're the boss. Why would you go to all the hassle and the potential embarrassment of doing a 360? And I knew the answer to that question. I said, number one, if I do it, you'll do it. Mm-hmm. And number two, I want you to know that I did it because, hey, I want you to know I really do want to get better. And then I said to the leaders in the room, you were there, I said, the other thing is, you know, I'm leading a bunch of great leaders. If I don't stay ahead, you know, I become a hood ornament. I don't want to be a hood ornament. I want to be a part of the process. So it's so important for the people around us to see that we're not coasting. We're not just, you know, we're not just moving along because of their hard work, that we really are committed to getting better. So if you want an organization that has a culture of continual improvement, leaders have to figure out how to wear that.
Andy, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, for our audience members, Audible is offering a free 30-day trial. And this is the perfect way to listen to most of the books we discuss on the podcast. Audible is a leading provider of audiobooks with titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals.
Yeah, and as our podcast listeners know, I'm a huge Audible fan. And in fact, one of the best ways that a leader can model the fact that they are committed to continual improvement is to share with the people on their team the books that they're reading or the articles that they're reading. Because when people know that I'm still trying to become a better manager, become a better leader, that's just motivating. And so Audible's a great way to do that. If you'd like to sign up for this 30-day free trial, which I highly, highly recommend, you can go to audible.com/leadership, audible.com/leadership. You can start your free 30-day trial today.
All right, Andy, before we move to the fourth, let's review the first three. So first one is name it.
Name it, which is continual improvement.
Brand it.
Make it better.
Wear it.
You'd have to be here to see it.
Exactly.
Exactly, yes. And the make it better phrase, I just want to be clear, that's our phrase. That's how we talk about continual improvement. And certainly everybody's willing to take it, borrow it, make it better. But at the end of the day, figure out a way to brand it. So number four.
Teach it.
Right. Number four is teach it. And unfortunately, we have to teach it, then reteach it, and then reteach it again. And for those of you who are listening who are thinking, yes, but the problem is I'm not a teacher. I don't even like to speak in public. You have to figure out a way to talk about what you want to become part of your culture. So for the next couple of minutes, I want to give you a very, very simple template about how to talk about anything as it relates to culture, and then drop into that template how you talk about continual improvement. So essentially, you're going to answer five questions. What it is, what is continual improvement, why it's important. Number three, what will it require of us? That's super important. Number four, what does it look like here? And number five, what's at stake? So you're going to get up and talk for 5 minutes or 20 minutes about anything that you want to be part of your culture, But let's decide that you're going to talk about continual improvement, and you're essentially going to wrap what you say around these five, essentially five questions. What it is, when I say continual improvement, here's what I mean. Why it's important. Here's why it's important for us to embrace continual improvement. Number three, what it will require of us. If we are really going to be a culture characterized by continual improvement, it's going to cost us some things. We're going to have to make some changes. Number four, what is that going to look like here in our division or our, you know, our franchise, whatever it is that we're doing? What will it look like here when we are getting this right? What will it look like here when we're, you know, this is really a part of our culture, not simply something we talk about? And then number five, what's at stake? What's at stake is the inspirational, motivational part. What's at stake may be we go out of business if we don't get this right. What's at stake is the future of the organization. You know, what's at stake is our customers, you know, our product, whatever it might be. So whatever it is that you'd like to become a permanent part of your culture, at some point you have to talk about it, you have to teach it, and this is a simple way to do it. What it is, why it's important, what it will require of us, what it looks like here, so it's very, very organizational or organizationally specific, and then number five, what's at stake. And I think most leaders, well, again, this could be 3 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, but every once in a while coming back and answering those questions to reiterate again, here's what we're talking about when we talk about continual improvement. I think that's a critical part of creating a culture of anything.
Andy, the next step in the process is institutionalize it.
Yeah, so how do you institutionalize continual improvement? So here's some things that we do. Some of these we've talked about before, but here's what I know about those of you who are listening to our podcast. You can figure this out if you'll just take the time to figure this out. Mm. Because the answer to how do you institutionalize continual improvement in an organization is very, very organizationally specific. But here's some general broad ideas that perhaps you can improve upon or adapt. We do 3- and 12-month evaluations. When people come to work for us after 3 months, they evaluate us. After a year, they evaluate us again. After they've been here a year, they're so much a part of the culture, they're not as aware of our culture as somebody who's only been here 3 months or a year is. So after you work here for 3 months, you get a list of questions from my office, and we want you to evaluate us because we are committed to continual improvement. Now, when you give a brand new employee, or essentially a brand new employee, an opportunity to answer some open-ended questions about their experience in an organization, whether they have everything they need to do their job, if they're doing the job they were hired to do, those kinds of questions, what you're saying is, we want to know what you think about this organization because we want to make it better. So that's just one of the ways that we've institutionalized, you know, continual improvement. Another way for us, we are an events-driven organization. Even though we're a church, we have multiple events all week long at all these campuses. So we evaluate everything every time something happens. If you want to get better, you have to evaluate. And if you want to get really better and stay better, you have to evaluate everything that happens every single time it happens. So we are an evaluation-driven organization. Again, it's a way we've institutionalized make it better or continual improvement. And Lane, as you know, we are as committed to evaluating our success as we are our failures. Mm. And oftentimes people don't do an autopsy on success. They just celebrate success and move on. But if you're not sure, if you don't know why you succeeded, you won't necessarily be able to repeat it. If you don't know why something's working when it's working, you will not be able to fix it once it breaks. So this, again, is a way that we've institutionalized continual improvement. It's very organization specific, but every organization can come up with ways to institutionalize continual improvement.
And Andy, finally, recognize it.
Yeah, again, what's rewarded is repeated. So anytime you see someone, catch someone, hear about someone who has made anything in the organization better, it can be as minute as an agenda. The agenda was better. A product was better. A process was better, especially processes. Because oftentimes people who are involved in creating processes or improving processes, they go completely unnoticed. Because processes are generally ignored unless they're a problem. So again, there are so many parts of organizational life where people have the potential to make it better. And anytime you catch them doing that, you celebrate them, you celebrate it publicly. Because again, if you celebrate continual improvement, people will lean into continual improvement. They will continue to make it better. So again, it's like anything else that you want repeated in a culture, you have to recognize it.
Well, Andy, as we conclude, I remember when you first taught our staff this, you gave us what you call 2 continual improvement questions.
Yeah, and I think these questions apply to every organization. And the 2 questions are, what feels tired and where are we manufacturing energy? What feels tired We've been doing it the same way. And where are we manufacturing energy? And we've talked about the idea of manufacturing energy. And I got that phrase from my good friend, Reggie Campbell. He was one of our board members years ago. And we were talking about something. And he says, you know, I feel like we're manufacturing energy. And I'm like, ooh, I like that phrase. Because every leader knows what that means. It's you're having to force yourself to get up for something or be motivational about something. Or you're trying to drum up passion about something that you're just having to manufacture energy. Mm. You're inviting everybody to the staff picnic, and you're thinking, I don't even want to go. You know, make sure you bring your kids. My kids hate that thing, you know. So whenever you catch yourself manufacturing energy about something, there's an arena or there's a context where there's a need for some improvement. Something needs to be made better. And the same is true about things that feel tired. Mm. And sometimes events feel tired. Sometimes buildings feel tired. Sometimes offices feel tired. So when something just feels tired, when you catch yourself manufacturing energy, again, that's the context where it's time to bring this part of our culture to bear.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out the andystanley.com website, where you can find the Leadership Podcast Application Guide to go with today's podcast.